back for Easter next weekend, and so the dad heart in me is really excited for next weekend when I get to see him. My daughter Grace, she's in her final year at Western, and she's just deciding this weekend. She's actually, I was chatting with her yesterday, she has to decide she's going into a master's program, and so she's just deciding, she has this weekend, she has to make the decision. It's between two schools and all the pressure that goes with that, and so be praying for my kids. So then it's both, all of them, both my kids and my wife were talking and praying about this church this morning, about being at Logos this morning, and what an absolute a joy to be with you, and just as we pray together. Just before I get into things this morning, if you have the video, maybe just play a little bit of a video. It'll kind of give an overview of this bigger family that you're a part of. So just so you know that you're not alone in this, that you're part of a larger family called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and also in Western Ontario District. So if you have the video, go ahead.
From a humble storefront mission in Toronto, Ontario, in 1906, the Pentecostal movement in Canada was born. The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was formed in 1919 with a mission to glorify God. The Western Ontario District exists to support, inspire, and resource leaders, because healthy leaders form healthy churches. The WOD has 360 affiliated churches, planted 50 new churches in the last 5 years, is represented by 66,000 plus members, hosts summer camps in 4 locations, 4 academic institutions for training new leaders, and 60 plus new credential holders in the last year. Creating culture geared towards spiritual vitality, focused on Christ-centered development, bringing the message of Jesus to the world. This is the mission of WOD.
So that gives you a little bit of a quick overview of who we are. So the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, across Canada, you saw we're a little over 100 years old as a movement. And across Canada, there's roughly 1,200 churches across Canada. And it's divided into 8 different districts, which are part of what we call the Western Ontario District. So basically, Yonge Street in Toronto is the dividing line south of there. And then all the way up to the far, far north, we serve a huge geographical area. And so most of our churches are in southwestern Ontario, but we do have churches up into the far, far north. And we have a number of First Nations churches in our far communities. I ask that you be praying for our leaders. We have 16 churches that are in the fly-in reserves communities, and even last week going up, we had a pastor who's unfortunately his wife passed away and had to go to the far north. Just to give you an idea of how far it is, if you took your car and you drove to Disney World in Florida, it would be the same distance, only north, and then from there you would go on an ice road for another 16 hours or so to get to this community. I took a small plane to get there just because couldn't take the time on the ice road. But this is our First Nations communities, and they have immense challenges, immense challenges. Be praying for them. We were able to bring in food. We were able to bring in needed supplies, so many things. One of our churches, unfortunately, last year had someone came in arson and tried to burn the church down. And the challenge with this is the fire was lit, there you can't get resources in during the summer months. And so we had to wait until this winter. We had to plan ahead. And now we've sent the trucks on the ice road up to give supplies to this church to be able to rebuild. But then you can't build until the summer. So it's literally a full calendar year before we can do the repairs after this arson. Such challenge. And as we meet together as leaders, they just pray, oh, Pastor, would you be having the churches in southwestern Ontario pray for us? The need is great. And so I come to you and say, would you be praying for our leaders? I love our district. It's made up of so many different cultural multicultural dynamic, and so and I love this church. It's so diverse and intercultural. This is the kingdom of God right here. Isn't this beautiful? I love the diversity of ages and backgrounds and everything that comes with it. I love in our district, we have a number of culturally specific churches, and that's one of my favorite things to do and preach in, is, and so all different cultures. And so in the last few weeks, I've been in a Ghanaian church, I've been in a Nigerian church, an Ethiopian church, a Latino church, and a Filipino church, just in the last few weeks. And so you just get a flavor of what heaven's going to be like. And this is even better because it's all together. And so I just want to say, what a great church you have. What a joy to be with you this morning. Last night, as I was preparing, as I was thinking about what to... actually, it was during the week. The Lord's been really wrestling with some things, unusually for me, to be honest with you. And as I wrote some notes on Friday morning. I took the morning Friday just to fast and pray and to write my message. And then last night, this is a thing that doesn't happen all that often to me, to be completely honest. Last night, I just woke up at about 1:30 in the morning, and the Lord said, "You got to change some things." And so I was there, and my wife was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "The Lord's put something on my heart." And she's like, "Okay." And so she was praying into it, and she was also getting ready because she had to leave for service this morning at 5:30 in the morning. And so she was trying to, like, okay, let's get at this. But the Lord just put a word on my heart today for you on this Palm Sunday. And the Lord spoke to me about a refreshing of our heart of worship. To say, oh, what does it look like to refresh our heart, to get our heart right? You know, when you're driving, and if you're like me, I have my GPS on all the time because you don't know where traffic's going to be or whatever, and I do a lot of driving, and when you take the wrong turns, and then it goes refreshing, 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 and it's not like you take a wrong turn and then everything is just like it shuts down and says, okay, you're finished, it's over. Like, go home now. The GPS doesn't do that. It refreshes and say, okay, here's a new path. Here's something new. And I believe the Holy Spirit would want to speak this morning and say, some of you have somehow have let the heart get a little bit jaded or sour or not in tune with the things of God and the worship that God would want to bring through your life. And God would say this morning, he wants to do a refreshing. He wants to do recalculating. He wants to kind of say, okay, fresh page. This is such a special week in the church life, this holy week, if you will, as we lead up to this moment of Easter, and God wants to do some refreshing in our hearts this week. God wants to take us and get us ready for what he has in store over our lives. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bible, just turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we read this story. It's an interesting story. It's actually represented in three of the Gospels, and then there's another similar instance that was a different moment in Scripture in the fourth Gospel. So it was an idea that the Lord really wanted to get our close to our hearts. It's right in this Passion Week, if you will, right at the moment of the kind of the Palm Sunday moment. And I was talking to Pastor Terry, your interim pastor, and he was saying you've been walking through that the last few weeks, But as I look at this, Matthew 26 will give us a parallel, verse 6 to 13, or Mark 14, 3 to 9. But we read in John's Gospel, before the Passover. Now, understanding that in the life of a Jew, there was three big times of worship each year. Three kind of main moments, like the big deal moments. And those were Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles. But the big one was Passover. And here they're getting ready. And see, Passover oftentimes would be a time of year when they would actually, things would go a little sideways. Things would go a little crazy in the nation because it would show their frustration with the Roman government. And so there'd be this wanting to overthrow the Romans, and they would there'd be this dissettling and kind of this big push each time of year at this moment. Hearts would sometimes go sideways this time of year, if you know what I'm saying. And here we read this story of Jesus, and it says he comes to Bethany. Bethany was a special place in Jesus' ministry. Over 11 times Jesus visits this one spot, just a few miles from Jerusalem. And there they come to Bethany, and it says this is where Lazarus lived. Now, if you remember, just like moments before, we read the story of how Lazarus, this guy, was dead, literally dead, to the spot of like stinking dead. Kind of nasty. And the Lord just did this incredible, bonkers, wild miracle and healed him in an incredible way. And here he comes to Bethany, and then we read some about these other characters, Mary and Martha, which we've also had privy to them before, and Jesus has been with them in the home, and Matthew and Mark would speak that they come to this place, and they actually come to Simon the leper's home. Interesting. Look at the group of people that are here assembled. We've got the disciples. We've got Simon that's been healed of leprosy. Like in that day and age, it was like you were shunned from everybody and God had supernaturally healed him through. Wow. And then we've got Lazarus, who was dead, literally dead to stinking. And then, could you imagine being in that room? And it says that they have this meal together and there's this celebration and probably celebrating that Lazarus is alive. Like, this is a pretty big deal. Like, I think I would have a party if I was dead for a few days and then resurrected. It'd be like, okay, time for celebration, everybody. And here was a dinner given in Jesus' honor, and it says Martha served, which isn't uncommon. Remember Martha, that was kind of her role. She was the one that liked to serve and take care of things. And then while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table, I love this idea. They're just like kicking her back. Kind of a foreshadowing to the Last Supper that's about to happen too. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard and expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. You gotta understand this cultural day, this is wild. To have her unbind her hair, it was like, whoa, this is not done. Like this is wild here. And then to take this pure expensive, now I brought with you just a little bit this morning. I don't know how, I don't wanna spray it just on myself. Whoop, there we go. I don't know if it's going to fill the room. If you're allergic to perfume smells, I'm sorry. We get this idea. It said that it actually filled the entire room, the scent. The scent of this perfume, and it was worth an entire year's wages. Think about that for a second. Some of you are like, my friend, his name's Matt. He married an Italian girl, and I remember going to their wedding, and it was like one of those big Italian weddings. If you've ever been to a big Italian wedding, and there was like 400 people there, and I remember I was in the wedding party, so I had to kiss like every older lady as they came in, you know. And I came after, my wife went to give me a hug, and she's like, oh. She's like, you smell like every perfume that's ever been purchased. It says that the smell permeated the entire room, the sweet fragrance. Think about it for a second. Here, do you get the contrast? I just love how Jesus brings the imagery. Here's Lazarus that was dead, and it said that he had the stench of death. And here comes in the fragrance of this room, the beautifulness of how Jesus brings everything new, how there's such a great moment here that takes place. And then, side note, you get some of the disciples. It says not just there's Judas, but it actually says in Matthew, Mark, there's a few others that get upset, that they're like, what is she doing? Why is she doing this? A whole year's wages? This is too excessive. this worship. That smell was filling the room. It was excessive. When I get home tonight, my wife's going to be like, where did you go today? And they started to complain. It says in verse 4, but one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was going to later betray him, objected. Why was this perfume not sold and given to the poor? He tried to like justify and rationalize, and that's what people always do, right? He did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and the keeper of the money bag. And he used to help himself to whatever was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor among you. You won't always have me. I love this imagery of the smell filling the entire room. This act of worship being so pure, being so true, being like just from such a right-hearted space. And you get the counter of death and dying and new life and corruption and pure heart all in one room. What does it look like to have a heart of worship? Hebrews 12:28 says, we should be grateful that we've been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in this kingdom, we please God. How do we please God? By worshiping him and showing great honor and respect. We please God. There's something about when we come before the Lord. And it's not just music is what I'm trying to get aside to you today. It's a heart to say, God, I'm going to bring worship to you and declare that you are primary in my life. Psalm 22:3 says this, God is enthroned. I love this. He's enthroned in the praises of his people. That when you worship the Lord, that God is there in the midst. It changes the atmosphere. It fills the room, so to speak. Amen? Psalm 84 verse 2 says, my soul longs. It even faints. Do you get the kind of desperation here? My soul longs, even faints for the courts of our Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out to a living God. Would you be in a spot where you say, I'm desperate, my heart is right before the Lord and pure? I want to give us a couple things from this passage this morning if we want to kind of have a heart of worship like Mary had. If we want to kind of refresh and say, God, do a refreshing in my heart today. God, do a new work in my heart. If we want to get at this morning, I want to give you a couple things to refresh our heart of worship before the Lord. Number one, from this story is I think we need to have an attentive heart. We need to have a heart that says, okay, God, I'm in step with your spirit. I'm in line with what you want to do. See, I love this picture because here's the disciples who should really get it. Like they just had this Hosanna in the highest kind of moment, waving the palm branches. But they didn't get it. They're indignant, some of them, about it. But here's Mary. She's tuned in. Her heart is right and pure. She's got a sense of what the Holy Spirit is speaking and doing. Are you attentive to the voice of the Lord? Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us stay in step with the Spirit. That our call over our lives is to be in step and say, God, what are you doing? I just want to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. God, I want to be in step with what you're doing. I want to be tuned in to what's going on in my life. You ever have your phone where you're trying to like, you know, find the bars of service and you're like trying to tune in? And I do a lot of work in Northern Ontario, so there's a lot of like Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You know what I mean? Phone calls, where you're trying to get the bars of service. And that's my life before the Lord is, Lord, I wanna get where I'm tuned in, where I'm attentive to what you're doing. I want to be attentive, Lord, when nobody else is maybe getting it, when nobody else sees it. Lord, I want to be attentive to your voice. See, I love this Mary, Luke 10:39. She sat at Jesus' feet and she learned. Remember when Martha was all busy, there's Mary and she's sitting at Jesus' feet learning. John 11:32, there's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet surrendered, and she's saying, Jesus, you got to do something here. Jesus, Lazarus is dead. Jesus, you can do something. I'm surrendered before you. And it puts her in a place to hear the Spirit of God when it comes to anointing him at this time. Charles Spurgeon says this, you must sit at his feet or you'll never anoint them. He must first pour his divine teaching into you or you'll never pour out the precious ointment upon him. There's something about being in tune puts us in a place to worship in a healthy way. Gets our heart right. Anointing. Are you tuned in to what God would have for you? Are you tuned into a heart of worship to say, God, where are you leading? I remember back a little bit ago, I was sitting with one of our pastors, and it was a Monday, and I'll be honest, I was tired. He was tired. We're sitting in this restaurant. We get together, and we're having breakfast early in the morning, and it was just one of those days, you know, you're just kind of tired. Ugh. And they sit us in this breakfast restaurant, and you know when sometimes you get there and you got lots of space, and then other times they put you like where it feels like I could eat off of his plate. Like I'm sitting beside this big, huge, like tough looking dude, like really like super in shape, just like me. No. He's like this strong, like big, hulky dude, and I'm like, literally, the table is so close, it just feels awkward. And so I'm sitting with this pastor, and this pastor starts to tell me about his journey, and he's telling me what's going on. He's discouraged. They were trying to do this campus outreach at the university, and they don't have the financing, and things weren't going the way that he'd hoped them to go. And he's like, and we're talking together, and the Lord says to me, I need you to pray out loud for him. And I'm like, okay, but it feels a little weird. Like I'm literally like this far away from this big, huge, tough-looking dude. And so I start to pray for him, and I feel a little awkward, and so I'm trying to whisper the prayer, you know. Lord, intervene in this situation. And the Lord speaks to me and said, I want you to pray really loud. I don't know, Lord, like, that seems kind of weird. I'm in this restaurant. It's early morning on Monday morning. I got this super tough dude sitting right beside me. I don't know. And you could tell the guy beside me started, it almost felt like he was irritated. And I was like, so I start praying a little bit louder. Lord, just be with my, and the Lord's like, no, I want you to pray loud. I'm like, oh. Okay. And so I start praying a little louder, and you could see the whole restaurant starts to like, pay attention. And the Lord's like, I want you to just speak in tongues over there. And I was like, oh, that's going to be weird in this restaurant. And so I'm fighting it with the Lord, you know. And then the Lord says, I want you to sing. Now, if you know me, my wife is like amazing worship leader. She sings beautifully. When it comes to musical talent, I have negative integers. Like you cannot get worse. And I think the Lord just put me with just to show that you can worship anyway. But I can't clap on beat to save my life. I apologize to all those I was sitting around this morning during worship. I usually give a disclaimer to those I sit around, like, sorry in advance, it's not so good. And the Lord's like, begin to sing. And I'm like, the big, strong dude beside, and I'm like, So as I begin just to, all of a sudden something just broke in the atmosphere. And the guy stops me, and I'm like, He's like, sir, I need to stop you. And he's got this big, strong sound voice, and I'm like, oh, no, don't punch me. And he's like, I can't help but overhear what was going on. I'm like, yeah, no doubt. And he said, I came in here this morning. He said, I don't know why I came in here this morning, but I felt I had to come in here. And he said, I eavesdropped your entire conversation and then listened to you as you prayed. And he said, I just want you to know that I'm involved in that university that you're talking about. He said, you know that football stadium? He said, I'm an ex-football player, and it's named after me. Oh. And he said, you know that alpha program that you're talking about wanting finance for? I want to pay for the whole thing. And he's like, I want to pay for a meal for all the students that are there. I want to pay for the... And he paid for an entire... the whole thing. Isn't that cool? 86 university students came to faith in the next few months in that program. It's pretty cool. So many times I miss it. You know, so many times I just, for whatever reason, I don't want to like kind of step out there, even when the Spirit's speaking, you know? And I'm ashamed to say I probably miss it more than I get it. Here's the disciples. If anyone should have got it, it should have been them. Here's Lazarus. Jesus raised him from the dead. If anyone should have got it, it should have been him. Here's Simon, the leper, also a Pharisee probably. Simon, who's been healed, transformed. Anyone should get it, it should be him. But that took Mary being attentive to the voice of the Spirit in her heart. The person with the least power in the room, the person with the... But she's faithful and God does something. I want to tell you, if you're attentive to the voice of the Spirit, if you get your heart right, God will do incredible things through your life. If you position yourself with a heart of worship and say, God, I just want to tune in your voice. Whatever you would have for me, Lord, I want to tune in to what you want to do. Exodus 33:15 says, Moses said, if you're not going to go with us, Lord, we don't want to go. Lord, I want to be attentive to your voice. God, I don't want to go anywhere where your Spirit's not leading me. God, I want to be in step with your Spirit over our life. Number one, have an attentive heart. Number two, have a sacrificial heart. This gift is not just any gift. It's not the... whatever, $20 thing of, no. This is a year's wages. Think about that for a second in your context. I don't know how much you make, whether you make $10,000 a year or whether you make $150,000 a year. Think about that moment for a second. This is a laborer's wage, an entire year's wage. And here she goes, okay, I'm going to sacrificially give the best. See, the word of the Lord says that there's something about our heart and our hand are kind of connected, aren't they? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And see, she comes before, and she's got this heart that's aligned, and the disciples are like, whoa, especially Judas, who's obviously got his hand in the till a little bit. But she comes with this heart that's so pure in worship, where no amount is too much. I ask the question, do you have an amount that's too much in worship? Do you have an amount that you say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to kind of give you it all, but there's a line. That's where it's too much. God, I'll give you it all, but except for I want my nights, I don't want to be busy and on these nights. Lord, I'll give it to you all except for this amount of my finance. Lord, I'll give it to you at all except for I don't want to use these talents for you, God, or serve you in this way. Sacrificial. I was chatting this week with one of our pastors just down the road who planted a church not long ago, about 2.5 years ago now. Remarkable story. His name's Chooks. Chooks was in the UK and felt the Holy Spirit speak to him and say, you need to come to Canada to plant a church. He didn't understand it all. Chooks was a lawyer in the UK. And his wife was a medical doctor actually teaching at the university. And the Lord spoke to both of them that said, you need to come to Canada. Well, they're in a pretty good position if you know what I'm saying. Like, MD, lawyer, I don't know exactly what they get paid, but probably not too bad. They're in a great spot in the UK and everything's good. And the Lord says, I want you to move to Canada and plant a church. What? And they come and they talk to me, and this is right as COVID is crazy, shutting things down. And they said, we've given up all this because the Holy Spirit's told us and we're here. I'm like, okay. And they start this church. Now they've got literally campuses all over the world, and God's 2.5 years. And I ask him, I say, like, is the sacrifice worth it? He would say, Oh, Pastor. Like, there is no, he said, I missed the salary. I'm not going to lie. But he said, wow, we're in the best place. No sacrifice you give to the Lord will ever be too great. I guarantee you. There'll never be a moment when you say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have sacrificed that to the Lord. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Let me tell you, it's so good when you just say, I'm all in. I'm going to worship the Lord with everything inside of me. The problem in the North American church is we're not willing to be sacrificial in our worship and in our lives. There's something about when you say, God, I'm giving you my life. Mark's gospel says, daily lay that cross down. Sacrificially living before the Lord. Here, Mary gets it. A whole year's wages. But she's going to worship the Lord with her whole being. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, I like it, it's framed, in view of what God's done for us, Lazarus, in view of what God did for you, Simon the leper, in view of what God did for you, disciples, in view of what God did for you, Mary gets it. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. An attentive heart, a sacrificial heart, and then third, a courageous heart. I love Mary here. Here's Mary when all the others are kind of putting their hands up like, whoa, 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 whoa. They're questioning her motives. They're coming to her like, what are you doing? Mary has a courage in her. Whoa, that's crazy. Like, you're putting your hair down like that. Mary, that's not done in our culture. That's extreme. She's got a courage and a boldness. It doesn't matter what's in front of her. She's going to worship. She's got a courage inside of her that she's going to step out. It doesn't matter what her colleagues are saying. It doesn't matter even what her family's saying. She's going to worship the Lord. And I want to challenge you in the place of this morning, folks, as we enter into this holy week. Do you have a courage about the gospel in your life? Do you have a courage to say, I am going to worship no matter what? I am going to declare the goodness of our God no matter what? No matter what anyone says, no matter what persecution may come my way, no matter if people check my motives, no matter what, I am going to worship the Lord. I'm going to have a courage to serve Him wholeheartedly. Come on. R.T. Kendall says this, the less conscious I am of His presence, the more I need to prove myself to others. See, when we're conscious of the presence of God, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter what's going on. When we're conscious of what the Spirit's doing, oh, everything else fades away. And there's a courage to say, God, I'm going to worship You. When was the last time? One of the things I do in my calendar each week is I measure, I just take notes. You know, I hope you take some notes in your life and do a little reflection at the end of each week. One of the reflections I do is, how many times did I have to step out in courage this week? How many times did I have to get the, okay, Lord? See, if I finished the week and I had none of those moments, then I question whether I was really attentive to the Spirit of God that week. Are you stepping out in courage? Are you stepping out and trusting Him? 2 Easters ago, I was with one of our church planters. Amazing, amazing, amazing church plant. It was actually a couple church planters working together. So the first guy's name's Obed. Obed was in Afghanistan. He's got a wild story. He was part of the Taliban, one of the bad guys, so to speak. He did weapons training in the morning and then studied the Quran in the afternoon. And anyways, long story short, the Holy Spirit showed up in his life and he ended up giving his life to Christ, had to flee for his life, had to run, and there was attempts over his life multiple times, and he ends up in Canada. And he meets me and he's like, I'd like to plant a church. I've got a few friends. They're all coming from these refugee camps. We've all run for our lives. I listen to the story. Oh, I've been bombed. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. One guy showed me 15 times he'd been stabbed. Wow. And then Ahmad. He gets Ahmad here. And Obed helped get Ahmad. It was kind of crazy. I won't go into all of it. We had to smuggle him a little bit. But anyways, Ahmad has 230 underground churches in Afghanistan. He's living in Kitchener-Waterloo right now, just finished translating the Bible into Pashtun. Incredible story. Easter Sunday, we baptized 230 Muslim people that have given their lives to Christ here in Toronto. Yeah. And get this, though. We did another couple thousand in Afghanistan that morning. And there's 44,000 people online with us during the service. He's got attempts on his life literally here in Canada all the time. I say, why do you do it? He said, why wouldn't I do it? Look what Jesus did for me. He's just got this heart, this courage that steps out, says, no matter what, I am going to worship the Lord. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to trust in Him. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of others will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are secure. When you fear others, the enemy will just be like a snare, just take you around. That word, actually, I come from a bit of an agricultural family. My grandpa had cattle. And you get the biggest, toughest bull you can ever imagine. I don't know how many of you have any agricultural roots. But you get the meanest bull. And my grandpa, you would take that bull, if you had some pliers with the little ring in his nose, and you could lead that bull anywhere you wanted to go. It would just like take it around. It says, the fear of others, it's like that ring in a bull's nose, that snare. And the enemy will just lead you around anywhere. But those who trust in the Lord are secure. When we walk in the courage, we walk in the boldness and say, God, we trust in you. Oh, our heart of worship changes. I love Mary, who shows an example to all these guys who should have got it. Attentive heart. An attentive heart, a sacrificial heart, a courageous heart. And then finally, this morning, she comes with a humble heart. She's not brash. She's not cocky. She's not arrogant. In fact, it says that she unbinds her hair, just this total sign of submission and surrender. And she says she begins to weep. And the one passage talks about anointing his head. Then the other talks about anointing his feet. And she just begins, it says, her tears. Just comes before the Lord in humility. I want to challenge a church. I've seen too many of our churches lose the humility. See, in the world, we've kind of have a reputation now where the church doesn't have the reputation. We are to have a reputation of boldness, don't get me wrong, but cloaked in humility. Here's Mary. And I love this passage because it's a foreshadow of the Last Supper here, right? And remember, when all the disciples get around, they should have learned from this one. All the disciples, and no one's willing to get down and wash the feet, which is the job of a servant in that culture, in that day and age. And Jesus then gets down and does it. But Mary, the prototype of what the disciple is supposed to look like, the heart of worship that's pure and right, she gets down unprompted. And with her hair and tears and the sacrifice, washes his feet. Oh, what a beautiful picture, church. See, the Lord has a lot of superstars, but he's looking for servants. The Lord has a lot of people that love to serve, but only in an advisory capacity. And the Lord's looking for those who would come and say, I'm just going to humbly, just with my heart before the Lord, in worship. I want to tell you kind of a crazy story. I've told this story quite a few times actually. So I started out in ministry. Talked about Brantford. It was Evangel Church in Brantford. And I go to this church, this is my home church growing up, and I'm the assistant to the assistant youth pastor, which kind of in the hierarchical system means I'm the lowest on the ladder. But I come in there and I'm excited, and I remember they get a little brass nameplate that said Pastor Jason. I was like, ooh. And my office was literally like they stored the choir robes, it was that era, on one side. And then my desk was on the other side. And I was like, but I'm a pastor now. And I didn't have a lot of books, so I had one NIV study Bible that I tried to make look really big on the shelf. And I'm like, but I'm a pastor now. This is awesome. And so my very first responsibility as pastor, the phone rings, and it's like one of those ones with all the different lines, and I don't even know how to answer it properly, and I'm, you know, trying to figure out, and I answer, and then I put on my best, like, pastoral voice. Hello, Pastor Jason here. There's the lead pastor, and he said, Jay, something happened in the girls' bathroom. It's like a bomb went off. Can you go fix the toilet? Okay. And I go in, I'm like, woof. The smell in the air, I needed some of this, you know. And I go in, and it was just, and my very first job as pastor, like my very, very first job, I'm cleaning and fixing the toilet. Fast forward the story. I do a season there, and then I go to Bible college, and then after that, my wife and I, we go to Hong Kong, and we become missionaries. And we're like, we're excited. We get there to Hong Kong, and we're super pumped. We're missionaries now, you know. And we live in this building and Mongkok, and it, 7 floors, no elevators. We're carrying our stuff all the way up, and it's like a zillion billion degrees, and we're like melting. And we get to the top, and we're excited. We're moving into our little flat there, and the. The person in charge comes and says, oh, Mr. Jason, one problem. I'm like, what? He's like, the toilet is broken. Do you know how to fix this? And I'm like, oh, yes, I do. Now remember, it's like 40 degrees, full humidity, nasty broken toilet. Like, this is my first job as a missionary. Okay, Lord. Fast forward the story again. We finish up our time in Hong Kong. God did some incredible things. It was amazing. Great time. And we go to Northern Ontario to be pastors. So we move from the busiest place on the earth to the least busiest place on the earth. And we go to this little community, and we're excited. We're senior pastors now. This is going to be fun. Like, this is amazing. We're just jacked. My wife and I, we go in to be senior pastors. This is going to be so good. Guess what happens on my first day? The toilet did not break, but the urinal did. And there I am on my very first day of being a senior pastor, and I'm like, oh, this is awful. Fast forward the story again. We moved from this church that we just had such a great time, and God did incredible things and brought healing. It was just amazing. And we felt that the Lord called us to plant a church. So we moved to Waterdown, which is Burlington-Hamilton area, if you don't know. And we're jacked. We're so excited to plant this church. And so, you know, we go from a thriving church where we had a couple buildings to no building and no people. But we're trusting the Lord, you know, and we're excited. And so we go there and we're planting this church and so excited. I don't even have an office. And so I went to actually our district at the time, which was in Burlington. I said, hey, is there like a little cubicle I could use that I could have as a little workspace? My kids were really small at home, and I'm like, and so they said, no problem. And so I had this little cubicle, tiny little office. Moved in there my very first day. I'm sitting in the office, and Secretary Treasurer at the time, his name was Ken Raymer, he comes down, he said, Jay, he said, did your dad have a hardware store? I said, yeah, he did, actually. He said, well, I said, Beaver Lumber. Yeah, okay. And I said, he said, would you happen to know how to fix toilets? Funny you should ask, Ken. He said, we've got this toilet, it's been busted. My very first day on the job, church planter. Can't make this kind of stuff up. So, fast forward the story again. I leave from that role, and hardest decision we've ever had to make. They had invited me to be what we call the Northern Regional Director. So Pastor Joel, who kind of cares for our churches in Toronto, which you've met, Pastor Joel, I was doing that job in Northern Ontario, and it was hard to leave our church plant, but I felt like God's called me to this. And so my first week on the job as Northern Regional Director, and I fly up to this small community in the far north, and I'm going into this meeting, and it's a bit of a spicy meeting, so I gotta try and get my stuff together, and I'm nervous. I'm like super nervous, and I'm trying to get myself ready, you know. And so it's a bit spicy, so I'm trying to meet in public so no one punches one another or something. I don't know. And so we go into this Casey's restaurant. I'm so sweaty and nervous. I'm like, I just got to go wash my hands. And I go in. Guess what? You got it. The toilet's running in the Casey's restaurant. I'm like, Lord, you're just hilarious. Fast forward the story one more time. You probably know where I'm going with this. So I get elected a year and a half ago as our superintendent. Humbling. I get the greatest job in the whole world. I get to be the pastor of pastors. Like, talk about, wow, Lord. I get to pastor pastors. And Pastor Lori Givens, he was my predecessor, another guy from Brantford. And Lori was in the role, and he moved out of his office, and he said, Jay, here it is. And I went in first day, and I was like, I was nervous, you know? Lord, I gotta I got to be responsible for 1,400 pastors? I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, I need your help. I'm on a Zoom call in my office, and I hear the sound of a mighty rushing waters. And I'm on the Zoom call, and I'm like, that's a weird noise. And people on the Zoom call are like, Jay, what's that noise? I'm like, I don't know. But I think I need to pause the Zoom call for a second. And I go, and I actually have a washroom in my office, and wouldn't you know it, the toilet's overflowing. Why do I tell you this crazy story? I don't know. Every step of the journey, God in his sweet way just reminds you, Jay, you're called to be a servant. It's just, God has a hilarious sense of humor, number one. But number two, it's like God just comes in the sweetness of his presence and says, Jay, you're called to serve. Palm Sunday. The week leading into Holy Week. This moment in time. And I would want to challenge you, church. This is such an important time for the local church. You're in pastoral transition. This is when the enemy always wants to try and get a foothold. And we're praying, we're believing. The future is so bright over this house. I'm so thankful for the pastors who went before. But I want to tell you, the very best days of this church are ahead. That I believe God's been setting the foundation, and there's about to be like construction like you wouldn't believe over this house. I believe as you begin to serve the community, God's going to begin to do beyond what you can ask, imagine, or dream over this place. But it starts first. Refresh that heart. Be attentive to the voice of the Spirit. Be sacrificial in your worship. Declare to the Lord that you are going to walk in a courage of the Spirit. And finally this morning, you're going to be cloaked in humility. And I want to tell you, when you do, the fragrance, it fills the room. It changes the atmosphere. There's something about when people come in this place, they're going to be like, I don't know, it just, something's different. It's just, I can breathe in a different kind of way. There's life and there's freshness in the house. This week, my prayer is that you refresh that heart. Proverbs 4 says this. This is Solomon, and I just conclude, if the worship band can come. Solomon, wisest person to ever live next to Christ, Scripture would tell us. So when the wisest person says above all else, that's a time to tune in. And he says, above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. Church, Logos, I challenge you, above all else, guard your heart. Refresh. Holy Spirit, work on my heart. Let me not get jaded. Let me not get bitter. Let me not just go through the motions. Let me not get complacent. Let me not just be relaxing when the King of Kings is here. But instead, let me have a heart that's attentive in step with your Spirit. Let me have a heart that's sacrificial, that there's no price too high. Let me have a heart that's courageous, that says, I don't care what everyone else is saying or doing. I am going to worship the Lord with my life. And the gateway is through humility. Can we pray? Mighty God, I say thank you for this house. For Pastor Julio, for Pastor Melody, for Pastor Joshua, for Helen, Lord, for the entire lead team, I just say thank you for this house. We bless them today. We honor them today. God, I believe the greatest days of this church are just on the horizon. God, that you're going to do something so incredible over this house. You're going to do a work that's so significant and so powerful. God, we just speak, Lord, your best days over this place. Lord, that you would be aligning the heart of the next leader that you would have over this house. Lord, right now, Lord, that you would be even refocusing their heart, Lord, getting them ready for that next step ahead. God, I pray, Lord, like Mary demonstrated, where the fragrance filled the room, Lord, that our worship, Lord, it would change the atmosphere. Lord, that our hearts and our lives, Lord, that you choose, Lord, as we worship you, you choose to use us. Lord, your word said that this act, Lord, would never be forgotten in time and history. Lord, help our heart of worship, Lord, to change lives forever. So God, this morning, if there's ones in this house who need a refresh of their heart, God, this morning, would you just begin to do that softening and working of the heart? Lord, if there's ones in this house that maybe have never surrendered their heart to you or did and then pulled it back, Lord, I pray today that they would give their heart to you. Lord, as we approach Easter, refocus my heart, God. Refresh my heart, oh God. Just with heads bowed, eyes closed, just to give privacy to those who are in the house. If you're here and maybe you've never given your heart to Christ and today you need to do that. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Or maybe you have, but you've gone away and gone prodigal for a season. Just with heads bowed, eyes closed, just to give privacy. If that's you in the house and you'd say, Jay, I need to give my heart to Jesus today, would you just kind of look up at me or maybe slip up a hand or just kind of say, would you be praying for me? I promise I will not embarrass you. I promise that. I see that. You can just put it right back down. Yeah, yep. And then, yep, you can put that right back down. Yeah. Lord, you see these ones over this house, Lord. We just speak, Lord, your grace. Lord, I speak, Lord, that you would, oh, Lord, I say thank you for these lives. God, today we pray with them, Lord, that we give our lives to you. Lord, we commit our lives to you, Lord. We say thank you for your grace that changes the atmosphere, Lord, your grace that changes everything. Now, if you're in the house and you'd say, Pastor Jay, I've given my life to Christ, but maybe there's something's got in my heart. My heart for worship, or maybe it's I'm not in tune like I used to be. Maybe I've kind of grown not all in anymore. And this morning you just say, Holy Spirit, would you take my heart? Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you in the place where you just need, Lord, to refresh your heart. Just kind of look up at me and raise a hand or whatever and just say, yeah, Lord, you see these ones? Yeah, all over the house, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you be at work now? Sweet Spirit. Just as the band begins to lead us in worship, when you go this morning, I'm going to invite you to come for a second, but I always give a little bit of homework. And every time I preach, it's cheesy, but here's what it is. It's just a little heart. And so the ushers are going to have those at the back before you leave. But here's what I'm going to ask. For the next 7 days, just till Easter, would you take this little wooden heart and just ride it around in your pocket? Every time you think you have a toonie, you'll be like, it's just this heart. Or maybe sit it on your office desk and would you just pray this prayer for the next 7 days? God, capture my heart again for worship. Refresh a heart of worship in me. And just see what the Holy Spirit does on this holy week, this special week leading up to Easter. Just lead us this morning, Pastor Joshua.